Robert Rosin is one of Australia's most influential social photographers, regarded as a leader in the industry. His work has spanned decades, photographing the likes of Mick Jagger, David Bowie, and Yoko Ono, and more recently, Kylie Minogue and Miranda Kerr. He joins us in the studio this morning. Good morning, Robert.
Good morning.
So to begin with, you're releasing a book. Congratulations.
Yes, it's launched already. It's called Glitterati, and it's available now.
So what can readers expect from that?
Everything, fashion, fame, and fortune. And it's my life's collection of photographs. So there's fashion shows from London and Paris, and backstage at Australian Fashion Week, and then studio photos that haven't been seen before of famous people. And most of it is celebrity. My celebrity photos from London, Paris, and Sydney.
That sounds like quite the body of work you've amassed over your career there, Rob.
Quite a body.
Quite a body indeed. How did you get started? Do you mind winding back the clock a little bit?
Yes. Well, when I was at school, I wanted to go to art school and be a painter, and my art teacher told me I was not going to be a painter, but he handed me a camera and said, try this. And then introduced me to another boy that had a dark room and showed me how to develop film and everything. And that was it. I was hooked. I never looked back. And then I went on to Paran Tech in Melbourne, studied there with Paul Cox. And then I moved to Sydney, and then I went to London. And that's where I really started working.
So how long did it take you to compile all your work and decide which photos made the cut?
About a year. Because there's probably, I'd say, close on a million photos, negatives, transparencies, and now digital images. So then when I approached New Holland Books and they said, yep, let's go with the book, I had to start editing, which I was up till 2 or 3 every morning, just looking through everything. And I got it down to about 1,000 photos, and they said that was too many. Then I got it down to about 750, and I just said, I can't take any more out, you know. It's like throwing your children out of the house or something. So I left it with them, and they've used most of it. I thought they'd edit more, but the art director, Andrew Davies, liked everything, so it's a big book.
Yeah, excellent. It sounds pretty exciting. So... One thing I'm curious about with photography, and yes, this is sort of a little bit off the tracks, but it's a mechanical representation of the world. You know, it's light going into the lens and then getting on. So how much do you kind of express yourself? I suppose I'm asking in your own work. How much of it is you?
None of it. Probably it's all to do with the celebrity in front of my camera. It's what they're doing at that moment. I'm just capturing the moment. I'm just holding the camera up, probably quite instinctively through practice over the years. I know, you know, something's going to happen now, or you can hear them laughing in the background. I just turn around and take a snap. I use this quite a small camera, just a Canon G16, which is fits in my pocket. And people aren't inhibited by that, which is good. Not as inhibited as so-called paparazzi with big cameras and big lenses. And I get to know the people. We're going to the same parties every night in London or Australia. And so, you know, the celebrities and the press mingle. And so they don't mind me taking their photo. And they know I'm not going to print a bad one.
Well, how did you begin hobnobbing with these celebrities? Did you just walk in?
Yes. I gatecrashed. started in London because I wanted to do fashion photography. And it was very hard to get a studio and expensive. And I was just in my early 20s. And so, but I was lucky enough to have a lovely girlfriend, and she was very social. And we'd go out to the nightclubs nearly every night. And this is early 80s. So London was really booming. You know, it was buzzing. It was fabulous. And I'd see people in the nightclubs like Bianca Jagger, Mick Jagger, Rod Stewart, you know, and then I noticed that there were a couple of photographers there, I think just two of them at that stage. And I said to one of them, why are you here every night? You know, I see you taking photos of Mick over there or something. And they said, yeah, but, you know, we can sell the photos to the newspaper. And I thought, oh, okay, well, I'm coming here every night for fun. I may as well bring the camera with me. And that's how it started. And then I'd get photos of someone and call them up, pull up the papers the next day and say, do you want it? And it sort of snowballed from there. And then after a couple of years, I was working for about 7 publications in London and sending stuff back to Australia.
Did anyone ever not want you to take their photograph?
Not really, no. If a celeb or anybody said, oh, Robert, I really, I'm looking shithouse tonight or something, don't do it, I won't, because I know I respect them, and I know I'm going to see them the next night anyway, or that within the next week they're going to be around.
We're speaking.
So I think that built up the trust. They knew that I wasn't going to, like, disrespect them and publish a bad photo. So that gained me more entry into the parties. The PR people knew me, so I didn't have to actually stand on the red carpet or in the street. I was invited in with the rest of them.
We're speaking with photographer Robert Rosen about his new book, Glitterati, and his life in the industry. Now, Robert, many of your photographs are in black and white. How yes. come?
They're old. Well,
makes sense.
In the 80s, everything was shot in black and white for the newspapers and the magazines. I guess you weren't around then, but... and anyway, I prefer black and white now. With digital, it's harder, and I prefer film. You don't get that quality, that beautiful black and white and all the tones that you did with film on the digital. But, everybody shot in black and white in those days. That's why I had to go to the darkroom the next morning and develop it. Unless you got a really good photo, then I'd run to Fleet Street in London and get them to develop it on the spot.
So you touched on digital and the differences between digital and film. What do you think of the photography industry at the moment, now that everyone's got a camera in their pocket on their phone at all hours of the day?
I know. I don't think the photography industry is going to change that much. I mean, it's all those people put it on their social media or just keep the photos, to show their friends and say, look, here's a photo of me and Tom Cruise or something. But what I hate is those kids or anybody with a camera and we're at a party or something and I've just set up a shot of 2 people or some celebs together and they're posing for me and somebody comes and stands right in front of me with their bloody phone. Then I'm going to kill them.
That's just rude.
It's bloody rude, yeah. Anyway,
So if you could choose only one person, who would you photograph that you would be most proud of?
Most proud of? I don't know. I can't say because all the photos are different. I love the photos in the book of Grace Jones. I mean, she is a fantastic artist. But then there's, the David Bowies and the Paul McCartney kissing. They're all my favourites because they're all different situations. So you can't really say which one is an absolute favourite.
So you get the opportunity with photography to capture a moment, as you mentioned, which is rather zen. Yeah. Now, if you could go back in time, right, and capture any moment or a photograph of any person in history, who would it be?
From my book.
No, from anyone.
I just like that photo that I did of Paul and Linda kissing. That was an extraordinary moment. That was at Abbey Road Studios, and I'd actually gate-crashed that party. And because I had the small camera in my pocket, the security thought I was a rock star because I had really long hair and I was dressed up and everything. And they ushered me in and said, quick, the awards are starting. And so then I... ended up standing next to Paul and Linda McCartney. And after the awards, I said, can I do a photo of you guys? And they said yes. And they kissed on the third shot. And I took it to Fleet Street immediately. I was going home in a taxi, and then I said, oh, no, take me to Fleet Street. So we went, and they developed the film there, and this was about 3 in the morning. And then the guy came out from the dark room and said, here's the photo. And I went, wow, I got it. And that went all over the world. It was great. And,
that's awesome.
And then about 6 months later, I was at a gallery opening. I'd already sent Paul and Linda the photo through their management. And Linda came up and tapped me on the shoulder and said, are you ignoring us? She said, come on, give me a hug, darling. And she said, that is the most beautiful photo. Thank you so much. And that was great. That meant more to me than anything. So that was a good moment.
Certainly sounds just magical. Thank you so much for joining us.
All right. Thank you very much for having me on the show.
Yeah, we appreciate your time, Rob. We're just speaking with Robert Rosen, one of Australia's best and most well-known photographers, about the release of his new book, Glitterati, and his life in the industry.